Hello, friends, and welcome to the Healing Ground Movement. Now, for more content and bonus features, you can join us on Facebook and Instagram. And remember, all of our content is delivered freely, so please consider supporting the show by donating via the link on our website at healinggroundmovement.com or liking and reviewing the podcast on your favorite platform.
Enjoy today's episode.
Today's episode is brought to you by one of my all-time favorite apps, Blinkist. I found out about this app when I was pregnant and didn't have as much time to read, particularly into those early years of mothering, and it has been a game changer. Blinkist brings you knowledge from top nonfiction and podcasts so you can learn anytime, anywhere, and the best part is it condenses it down into 15 minutes. You can either listen or read to key ideas from best-selling nonfiction in just 15 minutes. So you keep getting all of these great recommendations, all the parenting books, all the health books, all of the things that you know you should be doing and know that you should know more about, but you just don't have the time to read the full version. You can get the Cliff Notes version from Blinkist. They have teamed up with podcast creators to bring you key insights from podcasts as well. And there is expert curation, their handpicked recommendation tailored to what you're interested in. So the more you listen, the more specific your recommendations get. Visit healinggroundmovement.com/resources for a free trial of Blinkist. I know you're going to love it as much as I do. Enjoy today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Healing Ground Movement podcast. I am your host, Dr. Carly Hudson. And joining us today, we have Samantha Kellgren. Samantha is a health and mindset coach supporting ambitious women who are exhausted of going through the motions. She loves helping her clients set up and hit purpose-powered goals without overwhelm. All of this coming back to our general pursuit of health and well-being, that we can still be driven and focused without sacrificing ourselves to begin with. So Samantha, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited to hear what you have to share with our listeners.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and to have this conversation.
Well, so give us a little bit more about your personal story and background that brought you to the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, I always try to make it the most direct line that I can, right? As entrepreneurs, it's just never straight, right?
Oh, never. Yeah.
So like you said, I'm health and mindset coach, which could, you know, it's like saying business coach. I could literally be anything. But my main focus is working with women that don't actually need motivation. They need kind of help slowing down and giving themselves grace and permission to do a little bit less, to pull back and not to go after the crazy ambitious goals time after time again, but to, you know, like we talk about overall wellness. And it really started, I was personal training and then got into health coaching from there and was really marketing myself as what I thought people wanted, which is not that people don't want this, but you know, weight loss and, you know, healthy habit to create healthy habits. All of that is well and good, but that is not me. That's not something that I struggled with, I should say. I didn't have trouble doing that. I was a marathon runner. I was too strict with my healthy eating. I actually ended up losing my period because of it, which I didn't know until I went off the pill and was like, oh, that can't be healthy, right? Like I didn't know this was gone. But what that kind of kicked off, so this was, 2016. That kind of kicked off this different way to look at my health. Well, I think I'm doing all that I should be, heavy air quotes, all that I should be. I'm, you know, never miss a Monday. You know, I'm pushing myself. I'm, you know, eating quote unquote healthy. I'm making all these swaps. But in reality, I was not fueling myself properly. And I was extremely guilty if I missed a workout. And so it was this kind of gray area of, you know, I don't really identify with having an eating disorder. However, I don't have a healthy approach to what health is when it comes down to it. So it made me really reevaluate what is health, what is healthy to me? What do I want to get out of this? Why am I feeling this guilt for not, you know, if I say I'm going to run 8 miles and, you know, whatever happens and I run 7 and I would need to make up for it, where is that coming from? And so in working through that, I really did kind of heal that relationship. However, you know, fast forward 2 years, we were in Chicago at the time, we're in Asheville, North Carolina now. I realized I was putting this crazy amount of pressure on me to be productive, to get stuff done. When my son started daycare, it was running up the stairs to get laundry in and running back to, I mean, I'm running through my house for no reason to why I need to get this done and cross it off and I have to be productive. And it was kind of like, wait, what are you doing? I'm not enjoying this time, you know, just kind of like the, I enjoy running, but it kind of sucks the fun out of it when you're like, well, I have to get this done. And I realized I just kind of taken that same mindset and approach and shifted it over to productivity. And it was like, okay. So it kind of just moved because I haven't really addressed it. So it really made me look back kind of the same way that I did with the health aspect, was, well, what is productive and what is success to me? What do I want out of my days? How do I want to feel? And when I started talking about that more, I started connecting with women that were like, oh, now we're speaking the same language. Because when I was helping people with the, you know, sticking to a workout routine, I could give them helpful tips, but we're not exactly speaking the same language because I don't know their struggles. I get up at 5:30 now and I do yoga in the mornings. I don't have a problem with that, but I do have trouble and did, but something I continue to work on to sit and take a break and just read a book instead of buzzing around the house and to take that time. And I realize how many people, especially women that I speak with, have that same kind of driven attitude, but really struggle on that other end of it.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much guilt that comes with taking that time for ourselves, for sitting down and relaxing. Because there's 100 shoulds that could fill that time if we chose them. Yeah. I really love that you brought up and shared with us through your story, this idea of you quote unquote were doing all the healthy things. And you know, there is so much conversation about, oh, we could tongue in cheek kind of call it the lazy approach to neglecting our health, not moving, not prioritizing our food, not all the knots. Mm-hmm. But here you are, you know, running and pushing yourself and trying to choose the right healthy foods, but to an extreme that also turned into a lack of health in your body.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing a little bit more kind of about that part of your experience and where, you know, overdoing and overtraining can have deleterious effects as well?
Yeah. And I feel like I was in this weird area because it wasn't, you know, when I think of overexercising, I think of someone that's working out 2 to 3 hours every day, which I was not, but it was that guilt aspect. Okay. Well, but if I missed this, I didn't miss workouts, but if I missed one, if something caused me, if I had an injury, okay, I'm going to alter what I'm doing and still get a workout and to make up for it. And it was that mentality that was not healthy that I didn't realize, because if you look on paper, well, I'm eating, you know, 1800 to 2000 calories, you know, I'm not skimping and getting by on 600 calories a day and running for 4 hours every day. But did I feel guilty if I felt like I ate too much, or if I was eating too much in relation to the workout I had that day, if I didn't push myself hard enough in the workout? If I always give this example, and it's so specific, but multiple people are like, oh, I've done that same thing. Let's say you're going to a boot camp class that you love and you go every week, and then there's a sub teacher and you're like, that class wasn't as hard as it usually is, so I'm going to stay after and run a mile. That is what I'm talking about. And so it's, you know, you think, well, what is just a mile? Well, why did you feel like you needed to make up for anything? You just did a workout. And so it was really addressing, like, and honestly, I had this idea that, you know, it shouldn't be this hard. I shouldn't be putting this much effort into saying, how does everyone else do it? I didn't have kids at the moment. Like, how would I keep up with this? I must be doing more than the average person. Yet until I realized my period was gone, I physically wasn't breaking down. I was sleeping fine. I'm not losing hair. I'm not crashing on my workouts. Like, there was no other physical sign. So I honestly don't know what it would have taken if it wasn't that. Mm-hmm. Some other realization would have had to hit me that I can't sustain this for the next 10 years.
Yeah. And it is always, we need that sign. We need that bell to be rung to wake us up to the reality of what we're doing. But when I hear these stories that you're sharing, the words that come to mind are, you know, not allowing for grace and flexibility in your own life.
Oh, no.
the flexibility that, you know, you might need, want, desire for whatever perfectly valid reason, but no reason is valid in this case, to have more calories or to rest a little bit more and meet your body in that flexibility of variation when life has become sort of this strict inbounds and out of bounds way of being.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was sticking to it. I felt like I was doing fine. Oh, I'm sticking to this workout schedule and it's not excessive. Yet the reaction I would have if I was forced to miss it for some reason was like, it was not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And to take that from, you know, the workouts and the health, but how often do we see ourselves almost between these bumpers within our life of what is a strict level of acceptability of behavior, whether that is in calories consumed, workout done, hours placed into work, or the 5 minutes that if I allow myself 5 minutes to sit and rest, and 10 is too much. Is this sort of the underlying theme of giving that? I love this sentence. Permission to live outside of those bounds of strict requirement, not to go after.
It's that feeling guilty and the same thing, you know, different kind of application with the, you know, calorie or exercise, but looking at, you know, it feels really good to have a productive day. It feels really good. And that's fine. It is fine to feel good when you, oh my God, I got the trash out this morning and I did the dishes before I got my work done. And then I picked up my kid and made dinner for him. And and it feels really good to have all those things done. However, the other end of it, when those things don't go according to plan, you didn't finish what you were doing, you had to order out because you didn't get around to making dinner, or you burnt it because you were doing something else, too many things. To be able to say, yeah, maybe I did too much today, or like, yeah, today didn't go according to my plan, and to be okay with it versus I've got to nail this down. I've got to do better. I can't believe I let that happen. So it's kind of that self-talk, because it's okay to, you know, reach for these goals and want to feel accomplished and want to do, but it's the other end of that, being able to not do, to have a sick day and not feel like you have to desperately make up for it or feel guilty because you couldn't get off the couch.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes, it is. So in a way, and I think so often now, we're coming out of years of what appeared to me like black and white thinking. You know, this is okay. This is not okay. This is acceptable. This is not what we want. And to start to shift that from, it is okay to have a very productive, high achieving day, but if that's okay, it also has to be okay not to. And the problem is when we don't allow for both experiences to be valid in our world.
Yeah, that you're just as worthy getting all the things done versus not getting all the things done. That it's, hey, I am just the same person. I'm, you know, my value is just as worthy because I didn't get as much done versus if I did. But I kind of call it that, like, show your work, right? We're in this mentality of, well, I got to prove what I did. Why we're obsessed with status, right? And income. And it's these numbers and this title that we can show. Yet I did a podcast yesterday with someone that we talked about, you know, how can we define success outside of income? And it was, you know, I started talking about, well, I feel like I had a successful day when I took my son to, I have a friend that runs a diaper bank and we picked up diapers to help wrap them and explain to him what we're doing, that people can't afford diapers and this is how we're helping. And I didn't make any money that day. It was nothing but a job, but to me, it was a very successful and worthy use of my time, even if that's the only thing I did. So it's looking at, how do we want to feel? I felt really good for doing that. And placing more focus on how do we want to feel versus what do we want to do? And the, what do we want to do? It can stem more from, well, how do I want to feel today? What do I want to get done today? Okay. I'd like to do this, but while I'm doing these things, I want to have this feeling. I want to have this feeling when I'm doing these things. Otherwise, we're just robots.
Yeah. Well, and I want to dive more into this income equals success belief, because I have to admit with great vulnerability to my listeners here that when I read this on your, you know, your list of things we can talk about, I was like, yeah, but if it's not income, that one snuck up on me as something that I am still struggling with. And it was very hard over the course of the last year and a half, you know, with my day job being a chiropractor and being in a business where I touch people. It was a slow couple of years for me in the course of a pandemic. And I came up against my worthiness and my income and had to dance with that a lot. And I would tell myself often, yes, but now I'm the one that can be home for my daughter, when there isn't school or when this needs to pivot or that needs to pivot. And when I read this on your list, I was like, wow, I must not believe what I'm telling me. So I would love to hear more from you on that. And hopefully I can learn something here today and our listeners too. Yeah.
It's one of these things we keep coming back to, right? It's one of those things that, okay, let me keep reminding myself, because there's days you feel amazing about it. And then there's other days where it's like, oh, but I should be making more. Yeah. I should be doing more. And then to really stop and think, okay, why do I think I should be making more? You know, mm-hmm. Why is that not, like, is that what I care about? Or is it what I'm supposed to care about, a career path? Why do I need to be so focused on career? Is this exciting for me? Does this light me up? But the other thing is, it doesn't have to be, it's not bad to want to make money. My God, that's fine. Just as long as that's not our only measure of success. Mm-hmm. Can we broaden it so we're also looking at other areas? So it's okay, I have maybe an income goal, or I'd like to reach this amount. Also, I know I'm successful if I'm making time for my friends, if I'm at home with my family for dinner every night, is successful if I'm making time to meditate. You know, whatever your thing is, can you look at more the personal growth side and the family or relationship, you know, whether friendship or your own nuclear family? Can we put success in those terms as well? So it's not, so you have a bad year, COVID hit, you're not making as much, but then can you flip it to, okay, well, what other areas am I successful in? Maybe this is not where I'm striving right now. And that, how can that be okay? Because I get it. I think, there's so much to do with, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or full-time working mom, and there's guilt on every which way about that. Feel guilty for working, that you feel guilty like you should be making money, and looking at, well, is this what I want? Mm-hmm. Is this important to me? Does it fulfill me? I mean, I had the thought the other day, I was, taking out the recycling, and I'd put the Christmas lights up, and I had vacuumed, and we'd run an Airbnb here, and I'd flip that. And I hadn't really worked on my business much that day. And I was like, but I'm really enjoying myself today, getting these mundane tasks done. It feels really good and I'm happy. So I don't have to explain that to anybody. That might be small for someone else, but I felt fulfilled and I had a great day. So maybe that doesn't matter to me as much. Can you really stop and think of, well, what really is important to me? How can I set these goals? This is a kind of a good test for that. If it's important to society or important to you, is if I couldn't tell anyone these goals or when I hit this goal, would that be okay? If it was just for me. And that's that great test of, well, if I couldn't tell anyone, I use the example of running a marathon. Like, I would run marathons if I couldn't tell anyone. That's fine. I enjoy doing it. It's a sense of accomplishment. Many people are like, why the hell would I run a marathon if I can't brag about it to everybody and post everywhere?
Well, isn't that the joke that you hear is, how do you know if someone ran a marathon? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yes, I love that one. That's
true. And I love that. So the test being, and it makes so much sense, because even as I look back on my last couple of years, my family never went without. I made enough money to cover my share of the household expenses. This is not a conversation for trying to make ends meet. That's a different type of issue. We were fine. I was, yeah. Why wasn't I fine? And so, yeah. I love this challenge. Let's just say that again, in case it went under anybody's radar. If you couldn't tell anybody what your goals were, that you've made them, what would you still be doing?
Yeah. It's such a good test. It really is. And it helps kind of separate. I mean, you're like, oh, I don't care. Maybe it's not like, well, I wouldn't care at all. But if it's like, yeah, that actually, maybe I thought that was number one priority, but it's really like three or four, mm-hmm. you know? And so it can help you kind of navigate what really is the most important to me. Another kind of mantra that has been really helpful for me and a lot of my clients is don't create stress where there isn't any. And so just like you said, my needs are being met. We're paying for everything. We're not able to afford groceries. We're doing fine. I'm not worried about money. Where's the stress coming from? Oh, because I have this number in my head that I want to meet and that mm-hmm. no one else knows or cares about.
So how do you break that down? So that was a good lived experience on my part, but you know, how would you invite us to investigate in our own stories that we're making up? If in fact we are making up, how do I know where the stress is or isn't coming from?
Oh, well, I think you're going to know where the stress is because it's what questions do you keep coming back to? Mm. When you're laying in bed, going to bed at night and you're thinking, I should X, Y, Z, what is that revolving around? Because it's typically revolving around a certain area. It's typically, what are you researching online, right? What are you doing? What does that involve? What do you get jealous of? That's a good one. Where is that coming from? Why am I annoyed or jealous of this person or this thing that I keep seeing? If you follow one business coach, then Instagram's like, hi, here's all of them. And I kept seeing, you know, make six figures. And if you don't think about it, it's like, well, that's where I need to be. That should be my goal. My goal in the business, if I have a business, I should be making six figures. Well, you know what? I that's not that important to me. I want to make money as in I want to have clients that are steady and bring something into my household, but I'm not going for this big six figure goal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it wouldn't be great. It doesn't mean I'm not striving for things, but that is not my be all end all. Mm-hmm. I want to work with who I want to work with. And I don't want to manage a team. I mean, many things that it was, here's how to scale. Here's how to hire under you. I'm like that. I don't want to do that. I like just working by myself. And if I'm going to make more money, because I do a different venture, add something on, I would rather do that than hire a team. Mm-hmm. Other people are the other way and that's fine. But I realize like, oh, I'm annoyed by seeing this because I'm being pushed into something that I don't really care that much about.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's such a great consideration is, you know, and we get the same thing in the chiropractic world. It's like, this is how you scale. This is how you get a bigger yeah. practice. And a lot of it is bringing on interns and scaling up. And that's really what you have to do in business. Yeah. And so sometimes for me, that comes down to, and this might be about what are you guilty about? What questions are you asking yourself is, are you willing to do what is necessary, quote unquote, to do to become that six figure, to become that image of perfection that is flashed before your eyes, whatever your career is? And yeah. if you don't want to do it, if you're not willing to do it, there is a personal discussion about goals and desires that doesn't mean you have to end up in a pile of shame for not wanting to scale and hire people under you and suddenly have a team of whatever, yeah. but to say, I don't want that.
It doesn't mean you're not ambitious. Mm-hmm. That means that's not what you're after. It's so true. And it's hard when that's all you're seeing, mm-hmm. that we start to think, what's wrong with me for not wanting that? And then I always remember that there are people that travel the country and live in their van and don't work and they're absolutely happy. And it's like, oh yeah, there's no one way to do this. I forgot. And there's not one way to do this. Everybody's doing it differently. Everyone has different circumstances and different things that are important and different things that they're able to do. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's financially or physically or just whatever, this time in their life. I mean, it's different if you don't have kids, you have young kids, or your kids are graduated from college. You're going to have different priorities and different time availability. Mm-hmm. You know, something else that's a really great kind of exercise to do that is really eye-opening is to write down, okay, if I had all I wanted, especially if you're kind of focused on this income thing, okay, if I was making what I wanted to make, if I had the number of clients I want, you know, whatever it is, how would my how perfect, what would a perfect day look like? You know, what would I want to do during that day? And write all those things down. What would the perfect day be if I'm making this much money? And can you go through and look at, A, what are you already doing? Or what are you already able to do, but you're just not doing it? Can you get elements of those things in there? Because when I did this exercise, a lot of it was like, well, you know, I'd have more time to volunteer and I'd have more time to meet up with friends. I'm like, I'm doing all these things. I just feel guilty for doing them because I feel I should be working. Yet we're making enough money. I'm happy in my business. I'm happy with the time I get to be with my son. So maybe I'm much closer to that dream life that I want than I was thinking I was. I thought I needed to make this certain amount. Well, that'll make me feel better. And I think we all know intellectually, but we don't stop to think, like, if you just have a number goal, you're not going to be a different person at that number. Like, oh, what is it really going to change? Yes. What is it really going to change? You know, well, once I'm making this much, now you're going to be worried about making the next number. I mean, you're just going to add another number. So what can you do right now to kind of enjoy, well, maybe you do have a bigger goal, but how can you enjoy it now instead of being like, well, when I'm making this much, I'll be able to do X, Y, Z. Well, what can you do now? That's an element of that. While you're working towards it.
Oh, you bring up such a good point. I love that exercise. And it really does give you permission to see all the beauty and happiness that you have in your world, especially if you think about, you know, setting these larger goals and learning to manage up and having this team of people. Well, then are you trading the family dinners, which are exactly what you thought you wanted when you had that next money, but you have right now? It reminds me of this allegory I heard, and I can't remember where I heard it. If anybody knows, please let me know, because I love this one.
I never remember. I know.
I know. It's like, so someone like, really wise podcast? Said it. But, and I'll just personalize and butcher it to make it even more indiscernible. But this businessman, Harvard businessman, comes across a fisherman who has come in with this big haul of fish for the day. He says, wow, you are really good at this. It's like, yeah, I fish a lot. I bring a lot of fish. I feed my family. I get money for what I sell. It's great. And he goes, you're really good at this. I could teach you. I could teach you how to scale this. We'll get more boats. We'll get more people to fish. And then you will sell even more. And you will have so much money and so much abundance. I'm going to teach you how to make a business out of this because you're so good at it. And he says, what would that get me? I'm like, well, you'll be able to have all this money to spend with your family and all this time. You'll have leisure time to spend with your family. You'll travel with them. You'll get so much more for this money. And the very wise fisherman who probably doesn't need to listen to this podcast turned to the Harvard businessman and said, I already do that.
Yes.
And he does it with,
exactly,
he does it with the money and the fish that he already has.
Why do I need more?
Yeah. Why do I need to go through all of that to arrive at where I am right now?
Right. Right. It's so true. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, it's bad to want to make money. It's fine. It is when you think that making more money is going to be what makes you happier and your life better, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine to want to have this monetary goal and to keep pushing. And especially if you're doing it in a way that, you know, as we're talking about, is sustainable and that you enjoy, my God, go for it. Make as much as you can. But when you're putting things on hold, like your life on hold, mm-hmm. because I can't do these things, I can't have what I want, I can't be happy until I'm making this amount. That is where we see the trouble. I'm not proud of myself. I'm not doing enough because I don't have this job title. That's the issue.
And all of this trickles down to our conversation about health, because within that we see the downstream effects of delayed gratification. Well, not delayed gratification, but delayed happiness, delayed joy. Of the shame cycle and what that does for our immune system and for our body's resiliency. That putting off a sense of purpose in favor of a perceived needed income does to reduce our longevity and health. You know, we start to have this conversation more and more where health is not just about the food we put in our body and the way we move it, but how we participate in the world around us. And by making ourselves miserable by saying we are not good enough until it has direct negative impact on our health, down to increased rates of heart disease and diabetes. We have studies to prove this now.
Everything.
All the more reason.
It's so true. And what was the study? See, yeah, I'm not going to remember any, but it was basically saying like, how much do you need to be happy? And they found like the amount was like 70,000 or 75,000 mm-hmm. a year or something, which not that that's nothing, but it is not, you need to make 250,000 a year to be mm-hmm. happy. It's like this very like pretty achievable, I think, mm-hmm. goal of, okay, if I can make this much, like that's kind of the average. Clearly you could be much happier with even mm-hmm. less. But I think in our head, we make it up to this thing of we need to making, you know, multiple six figures mm-hmm. to have that level of happiness, when in reality, it's much lower than and more achievable and attainable than we think that it is.
Yeah. They say money, that stressing about not having money has a negative effect on our health. Having enough money to meet all of our income needs, housing, food, childcare, and then, you know, hobbies and recreation, makes you happy. And anything beyond that, you know, that goes above, actually starts to have a negative effect on our happiness.
Yeah.
That it puts this pile of shoulds and this drive to achieve for the sake of achieve.
You can't lose it. Yeah.
You can't lose this. You have to keep up with the Joneses at that level. It starts to have a negative impact on happiness. Mm-hmm. So really finding that sweet spot of just enough and not too much.
You know, with everything, like that is life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, moderation.
No, it's gotta be simpler than that. No, but it is. I can't tell you how many times I've talked about this with my patients. I've just started calling it the Goldilocks effect, mm-hmm. that it has to be just right. And when we come in, it's like, what is the right amount? Well, the right amount. Oh. Yeah. Always it's the right amount. Not too much, not too little, just right for you. And
for
your
you.
Personalize it.
Yeah.
And your exercises, you know, your ideas of what goals would you have if you couldn't share them with anybody? What does your perfect day look like, and how close are you to living it right now? What questions are keeping you up at night, and where are they coming from? Those are very personalizing questions for a lifestyle choice. You know, that's where you arrive at your Goldilocks right there.
Totally different answers. And you think that you won't, because I mean, when I write things, I'm like, well, who wouldn't want this? And it's like, oh yeah. Cause I'm like, who would want to be in, climbing the corporate ladder? I'm like, and then I think of like three people in mm-hmm. my life. I'm like, oh, they thrive on that. Oh, mm-hmm. that's there who this is for. Mm-hmm. That is not for me. You know, I mean, it's just this different approach. And, you know, whenever I would do any worksheet on, any business thing or just, goal setting, is lay out your dream life. And, don't be afraid to dream big. And I'm like, I'm not dreaming that much bigger. And I used to think like, oh, am I afraid? Am I holding back? Is that too big? Is it, am I like fearful of writing too much? And like, no, it just means that like I got what I want, maybe a little more of here and there, but generally I like the simplicity. My God, we moved from Chicago to Asheville. Asheville has got about 100,000 people. I'm so happy here. Like I am someone who thrives like, and I need to look at the mountains every day. I want to get out for a hike. Mm-hmm. That is my thing. I am in bed before 10. I'm happy with that. And it is not the life for everyone. Some people will be bored out of their minds. Mm-hmm. We would have very different, exercises here. We'd be writing very different things, but knowing yourself and what you want allows you to see, okay, make six figures. You're like, yes, I need to know how to do that. I've already gotten the work. I can't wait to get started. And other people are saying, that's not really the goal of mine. I'm looking for something. How can I find a more creative outlet for my job? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the route I need to go. So nothing is, right or wrong, which we think it is, right? We're Googling all the time the right way to do X, Y, Z. How, my God, you go into forums and, how many kids should I have? It's like, how can a stranger tell you that? Outside, but it just means we don't know ourselves. We don't stop to know ourselves. We ask other people what they're doing.
Oh, that is so big. We don't stop to know ourselves, especially when we're turning to others. How many children should I have? How many pets should I have? How big should I get?
How crazy that is.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm going to hear tell you don't have any more than one. That's plenty.
Right.
And,
right.
And that,
I'm
you know,
an only child. Yeah.
Yeah. This all works out. And, you know, like my, I got family members who have three and they're, you know, maybe not done. They are happy in a world that wouldn't work for me.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to what you're saying about the whole dream bigger idea, and that you are lazy if you don't dream bigger. So it just triggered this thought in my mind of working with, you know, with a business coach at one point who was telling, I was setting goals for my chiropractic office. And I think I set them at like 5 figures. And she's, come on, put a number on it. Bigger. Is that where you want to be? And I let her goad me into a 6-figure goal. And then I felt so terrible when I failed at it the next year. To be fair, the next year was also 2020, but I also failed at it. And that was such a huge piece to weigh on me as I stop and think, you know, as we were talking about at the beginning of this podcast, and thank you for just turning it into a personal therapy conversations for me, is that I don't want to do the work that it takes to have a 6-figure chiropractic practice. I would have to take on interns. I would have to scale. I would have to own bigger spaces. And yet the right answer was to say a bigger number. That is should do.
You should want more. You should want to scale. Yeah. It's so hard to fight against. Mm-hmm. But then when you think, and that's why, I mean, I'm hoping COVID, if anything, taught a lot of us what really is important. Mm-hmm. But just think of how would I spend my day if I could spend it in any way? And, you know, it's somewhat tricky because it's like, we don't all have jobs that are our chosen profession. A job mm-hmm. can be a job. That's another thing we can touch on very briefly of mm-hmm. this idea of, well, whatever your passion is, make your job your passion. That's not always feasible. Whether it's financially, I can't quit this job to take on this other thing, whatever it is, the thing that I love, like, that's not really a viable career path for me. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, a job can just be a job. You can just have regular job that you're not completely passionate about. And then you've got more time to do your passion. My husband right now is building his business. He's an entrepreneur as well. God help us. and they are doing very well, but there's some days where it's like, you know, if all this fails and this, you know, this doesn't, we don't end up selling, whatever, you know, I can just get a job and I'll be done at 5. And so he's still passionate about what he's doing, which is why he's in it. Mm-hmm. However, it's like, if that goes away, if the stress is too much, I know that I can step away and just get a 9-to-5 and I'll be done at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that, okay, it doesn't mean that's failure in any way. It's choosing, this was not worth the stress, and I'm going to work this job that I don't have to think much about. So when I go home, I've got a ton of free time to do anything that I want. Mm-hmm. I've got a ton of free time to volunteer at the places I'm passionate about, to explore outside hobbies, and not put the pressure to make money. My God, mm-hmm. side hustle, right?
Yeah.
It's, oh, you like doing that? Let's make you money. It's like, yeah. Just like with the fisherman, right? It's that can just be something that you enjoy. It doesn't have to be the main driver of your income. It can mm-hmm. be something that you enjoy. It's fine. It doesn't have to be, my passion has to be what makes me money.
Well, and it really puts a conversation on value about this idea that it's not a value. The fact that you like to arrange flowers and you have quite a flair for flower arrangements. And so you do it for your table and you do it for the tables of the friends that you love when you go to visit their houses. That doesn't have value until you can sell them on Etsy. Now it has value.
Yeah.
When the truth of the matter is, this brings joy to you. It brings joy to the people who come eat at your table, and it brings joy to the tables you visit with your beautiful flower arrangements.
Yeah.
That is worth so much. There goes back to your point earlier about income does not equal success. The success is you enjoyed making those arrangements and those you loved enjoyed receiving them and sharing them.
And if you really want to make it a stressful thing, then add a price tag to it, right? Yes. If you want to sell, you're like, I'm interested to see what this will do. My father-in-law can make, and he made us a small grandfather clock for our wedding. I mean, out of a tree that was in a neighbor's yard. He can literally make anything. it's amazing. And we had bought this table, coffee table. And I said, why? I can make some side tables to match that, match it perfectly. This was like over $1,000 table. And we're like, you can, people will pay a lot of money for these. That took you no time. He goes, I just like to make it for me. And didn't consider at all. And it was like, and instantly I'm like, oh yeah, right. Oh yeah, right. And we value that because I'm not able to do that. I think we tell other people, oh, you should sell that because, you know, if you're someone that someone else is telling you, you should sell those things that you do. If they're not able to do it, they're like, man, that would be amazing. That's what I would do. Or, you know, that's a skill that not everyone has. And if you're arranging flowers, you're like, this is just fun to do, right? I'm just doing this because it's fun. Let it be fun. You know, it doesn't have to be, no matter who's telling you, it doesn't have to be the source of income, just like you said.
Well, and maybe in that way, we can start to rephrase for ourselves what that you should sell it compliment really means and really is that this is beautiful and it is worth something to me.
I can't do that. Yeah.
I can't do. Yeah. And instead the way we know to share that is this is worth money. Like that's the highest compliment we can give is this is worth money. And instead even having that self-awareness of this is beautiful. I couldn't create that. And I appreciate that you can. Thank you for sharing it with me.
Yes. Oh my God. And it's such a much more authentic. I mean, then there's no pressure involved and no, like we should be charging for this, you know? Yeah. It's just kind of like, so, you know, you look great. Have you lost weight? Like everyone thinks that's a compliment, not always a compliment, you know, saying you should sell that isn't always the compliment that you intend it to be.
And instead these sort of blanket compliments really point to what we value as a culture, whether it's right or wrong or otherwise. We value thinness as a culture, even if it comes at the expense of health. And we value profiteering, even if it comes at the expense of joy. Yeah. And are these realities that maybe it's time for us to question first within ourselves and then within our community?
Definitely. Just the way we have that conversation with people, like you said, like, how can we talk about it differently? Listen, I did a post, I forget when, but just instead of saying, when you meet someone, hi, you know, what do you do? If we just said, what do you like to do? That's the conversation I'd rather have anyway. If someone's like, I'm an accountant, I'm like, I don't really have any follow-up questions, but like, oh man, I love like mountaineering. I'd be like, I have no idea about anything of that. Like what does that entail? I'm going to have a zillion questions and know you as a person versus what do you do?
How do you fill the coffers versus how do you fill your life?
Yes. Yeah. I remember meeting a friend for the first time. And she's a good friend now, but I do remember the very first time we met and I said, oh, you know, that typical, you know, oh, what do you do? We're all going to know each other. And she said, well, and I don't even remember what she did at the time. Well, I but what I love to do is I teach Turbo Kick. And I'm like, oh my God, I go to Turbo Kick every week. And we talk about that. And so she kind of, that's that way. If someone's asking you, what do? That's a great way to kind of turn it. And I'd be like, well, what I like to do, but to say, oh, this is what I do for my day job, but what I really love doing, how I love spending my time, and just get that conversation going. And it makes someone else think, oh yeah, like maybe I can do that. And can we like have that ripple effect there of like talking about what you actually enjoy doing? And maybe it is what you do for a living and that's fine. But if it's not, bring that up.
Yeah. I remember when I lived back in Boston, I had an awkward interaction with that where someone made a point of saying, you know, everybody always asks what you do and I'm going to ask you what you like to do. And I've been in healthcare my whole life. It's like, I really love health. I love anatomy. I love learning about the body. Yeah. And that kind of gave me a perspective that I'm really lucky to in that way, that they are the same thing. But I love that there is this conversation and this offering of what do you love to do? And that that can be one or either without presuming that someone needs to love or hate their job. But again, have that personal experience of what lights you up, however you do it, whenever you do it, what lights you up?
Yes, yes, exactly. So true.
Oh, I love that. Well, and so much of what you have brought to this conversation today really it's very subtle medicine, and it is medicine because it is a balm to our anxieties and our shame and our guilt, to question things a little bit differently and observe ourselves from a slightly different angle. Where is this motivation? Where is this drive coming from to be a bit happier or a bit more forgiving to ourselves and others? This is lifestyle medicine at its finest, and you just have to get the right dose.
And people, I think people ignore it or don't take it to heart as much because it sounds so simple. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like saying drink water and get more sleep. And it's like, yeah. But what is the workout that I need? And it's like, if you're not sleeping enough, you're not getting enough water. Try that first. And so we brush by, well, Scott, it can't be as boring as thinking of what I'm grateful for at the end of the day. It can't be that. But it is, because that creates the bigger feelings and that makes it easy. I mean, I've had a complete transformation, especially in the last year, and sure, COVID was due to a lot of that, but I can be in a moment of stress and frustration and not be enveloped by it. I might be like buzzing around and like really stressed, but there's this outer layer of me that's like, okay, but I know I'm going to get through this. It's going to be like 5 minutes. I'll be fine. Yeah. But before it wasn't, it was like, this is, you know, I'm very much in it. And, you know, it was real tough getting out the door this morning with my son and he's kicking and screaming. And I'm not having fun doing it, but I'm able to not be like, this is my world. It's like, yeah, I don't like going to school. This part of the morning sucks. And handle it and not get so caught up in the little stressors.
What brings, if we take this all the way back to the beginning of our conversation, where we have to live so narrowly between what is acceptable, you know, and a kicking and screaming kid is not acceptable because they never do that. Ever.
Toddlers never do that.
No. And not my kid at Michael's yesterday. Never, ever. She doesn't kick, but she does scream still.
Don't tell me that.
The tears. It's more the tears.
Yes.
The big feelings continue. And you know, the big feelings continue even into adulthood. I'm 36 and I've got big feelings. And I am as entitled to those big feelings as my five-year-old, as your three-year-old, that when we take off these boundaries of narrow living, of what is acceptable and what we should be achieving, we suddenly get the experience of the whole spectrum of humanity, and that a kicking and screaming morning has value because it teaches us something about impermanence and patience, just like the perfect morning with the angelic child who puts on their shoes the first time you ask.
Right.
Those are good. Those have value too.
Yes.
But it can be all without the shoulds, and it has to be able to be both.
Yes. Without the guilt and the, anytime you're saying, that's a red flag. Anytime you're saying I should, or I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Why should or shouldn't I? And if it is like, no, I should, I this is something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then how are you going to start incorporating it? Instead of just saying every day, I should be doing this. It's like, well, you want to do something different? Because if you do, then do something different. If you don't, then maybe stop saying I should.
And either way, I think kind of hidden in that invitation is to stop saying should. And I had another business coach, just one I really loved, told me to stop shooting all over myself.
I love that.
Is that if you're saying that I should, and the should is because of guilt, then that is permission to let go of the should and the guilt. If you're saying I should because I want, well, then start saying I want.
I want. Yeah.
I want to do this. I can do this. And you can hear a difference in the vibration and the energy of those statements and the drive to pursue them. Shoulds are heavy. Shoulds get you nowhere.
It's like saying I have to versus I get to, right?
Yeah.
It's that same, well, I have to do this. Well, I get to do this. I'm like, okay, it's a little bit different. Yeah, it feels better.
And some things you do have to do. And it's okay that not, again, it's the kicking and screaming versus the angelic.
Mm-hmm.
Some things you have to, but not everything.
Not everything. Mm-hmm.
Samantha, thank you so much for all of this great information. And you really gave some very practical things for our listeners to take away. And I love that you highlighted, and I'm just going to highlight again, it is the simple stuff. You know, don't brush it off because it seems so easy. Don't think about it vaguely while you're washing the dishes tonight without sitting down and actually writing it down. Force yourself to commit something to paper, to really take it in and make it, you know, semi-permanent, at least for a minute. That's where the real magic, that's where the real medicine happens. So thank you so much for coming with so much practical advice.
Oh, this is great. We could go on for another hour, I feel like.
Oh my gosh, we're so good. Well, and so then for people who haven't gotten enough here today, where can they find you and what do you have coming up? I know that you have something coming up on your calendar in the new year to offer as well.
Yeah. So if you're on Instagram, I'm at Simply Well Coaching. So shoot me a DM, say hey. My website is simplywellcoaching.com. Right now I offer one-on-one coaching, either a 90-minute session I call a cycle up breakthrough, or a 3-month program, but I'm launching, this week, the Oasis Collaborative. And that is a community. It's for perfectionist women to show up to, as themselves, be seen, heard, and inspired, in their personal growth practice. So the whole idea is, you know, we read a self-help book, we read a quote, we listen to a podcast like this. And like you said, you're washing the dishes and you feel inspired. And then 2 hours later, it's all out the window. The idea of this community is to keep it fresh, to keep it top of mind, to keep coming back to these things so we can continue to work on our personal growth together. It's all Facebook. Previously, I had a group on Facebook and I'm like, I feel like this is not what I'm preaching. I don't want to be in this social media land. So all the communication is on Slack. So it's just our small community. And then we have monthly calls on Zoom to come together and connect and share with each other.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I love seeing these communities find that real value, because I don't think it's any secret to people who are trying to create change like this, that there is something undermining the value by going on places like Facebook to have these gatherings where it's about not getting distracted into the echo chamber. So that is so incredible, pulling that off of that platform and finding a safe space for this experience is wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you.
And so for our listeners, this week we are recording this on December 1st. This episode is going live just a few weeks later. But give us again when things are kind of opening up in the new year as well for you.
Yeah. So I would say I'm launching now and I'm going to close the doors next week. However, I am relaunching again in mid-January. So look out for that. I'm likely going to do a one-day workshop leading into that. So to get some information beforehand, and then you can get on the wait list right now, though, if you go to my website, it's just Oasis Collaborative and you can get on the wait list now. So you don't miss any information on that opening up.
Amazing. Good. I just want to have anybody miss the opportunity based on timelines. Well, thank you again for joining us. And thank you all of our listeners for tuning in today. This was such a practical and productive conversation. Stop, pause, write, and listen to yourself. Let's start personalizing health and personalizing happiness so that we can all get that Goldilocks effect for ourselves.
Yes.
We will see you next week for another episode of the Healing Ground Movement podcast. In the meantime, be well.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard and got a little something out of it. Now remember, the information expressed in these interviews is for informational and not diagnostic or treatment purposes. However, I hope you find that having the right information and resources can go a long way to helping you on your healthcare journey. Ask the right questions and seek out professional help.